Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Kojo Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Today's episode is a conversation with the CEO of the Rwanda Convention Bureau, Nelly Mukazayeri. She gives a vivid account of the measures taken by the Rwandan government to safely reopen the economy, as well as the Bureau's plans to consolidate its place as a mines powerhouse. Nelly is a lover of sports and music during her quiet time. Good evening, madam, and welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. Good to finally meet you in person. And yeah, it's good to have one-on-one again. Mm-hmm. That's where we're living. So it will just take me straight to my first question. How did you manage with the coronavirus when we had a pandemic, and as the convention center?
Yes.
How were you managing the situation?
Thank you, Kojo. And it's my pleasure to be having this discussion with
yes.
you. And it's even exciting to have you here in Rwanda.
We're
being able to sit together, as you said, when we're still in this aftermath of this pandemic. So it's, I would say it's a big achievement that the government of Rwanda has been able to put in place in terms of taking strong measures for avoiding or encumbering the spread of coronavirus from the beginning. So from the date the first person was announced who has been infected by coronavirus, the country took strong measures, and following also guidance from the World Health Organization on what to do. And measures were put in place, and they were cross-marked sectorial. Immediately there was a steering committee set up made of different institutions and ministries led by the Minister of Health that set safety measures and guidelines that people have to follow. So the leadership was strict on protecting people, protecting Rwandans, but also making sure that we follow the trend and make sure that safety and health of people is a priority. So just to name a little bit the sequence, first of all, we went through the lockdowns like everywhere in the world, and then but progressively, so the lockdown started in March, but progressively around June we had started to open. We started opening the economy with some light domestic tourism and domestic conferences or domestic events. So as the Convention Bureau, as the leadership was opening up into some sectors, checking of course the trend, how it is, and how and with all the strong measures of safety and health, where people had to keep wearing masks, even today we still wear them, sanitizing, social distancing. So what as Convention Bureau we did was also to follow the trend and work with the stakeholders in the sector to set up guidelines related to how to conduct events in a COVID-19 situation. How do we implement social distancing and all those measures, but also allow business to happen by having a priority as the as safety of people. The second thing we did was also to work on a robust plan of communication. Okay. We reached out to our different clients, if I may say,
yes.
all the people who had organized events
the
in the country. And the message was more of postponing rather than canceling.
Perfect.
So we worked hardly with them to say, we believe we'll get out of this situation, and how can we work together with hotels, with professional conference organizers, so that the organizers, international or local or even regional, can postpone the events. Of course, it goes without saying that revenues we had projected to get, we did not get there.
Yes.
We had close to 70 events which were postponed. And of course, we believe at least that gave an indication that it's not total loss. It's a shifted revenue expected. So that's what we worked on strongly. And then we had also teams working in hotels and other venues where we have events, working with them in implementation of the measures. For example, until now, we get involved whenever events are happening to ensure that guidelines are being respected. some of guidelines that are particular to events, like how to use microphones, hand sanitizing before and after, and all that. So as a sector, we so evolved with the situation. But one more positive thing I would say, sometimes in even bad situations, we learn from them and pick positive things, is that this virtual moving to hybrid concept of events is something very interesting that we are seeing being also an eye-opener on how we conduct business usually in business events or in MICE. For example, it goes without saying that we were pushed to think more into virtual events, huge events, because of the pandemic situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although with that, we also observed that it can never replace the face-to-face or in-person meeting, but it has brought that flavor now of hybrid.
Which gives
more inclusion. Not everybody is able to travel. Although we still travel and gather and sit together, because that human touch, that networking, that bonding, you will never get it across a computer. But again, for those who can't, now there's a way of reaching out to them. So even the market picked. Now we have companies here that have those softwares of virtual conferencing, which they did not have before. Interpretation online, which they did not have before. So it has been also something that added or was an eye-opener. So that's how I would say briefly we've been coping with this situation. And it's getting better. As you may have heard, we've hosted an event here in this month where we had 110 international delegates flying from across Africa coming to Rwanda, thanks to our leadership, which enabled us to give to people that confidence that you can come and be safe and still do business. And that's a relief to the economy, because the sector has been affected all over the world. It's one of the sectors that are really affected by this pandemic, tourism or business events. So it's now getting better and better, and we hope for the best as things go on.
True, good. I think that is the same, and the fact that is not sustainable. So if we don't put in initiatives that bring some confidence, then we may even lose more jobs and livelihoods. And so that's the thing. Now, you've given me an overview of what was done and what is, what you guys are doing, and then your projections for it. But as a MICE bureau, I mean, if you like, as a convention bureau,
yes, please.
How you told me briefly how you managed with your partners and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're just coming at the back of having been named as the second African city to have hosted the MICE, and of course that was good. And 2020 in the industry was projected to be a buoyant one. It was going to be something that everybody was projecting double figures and triple figures, etc. How then do you seek to consolidate that position?
Sure.
Especially in the very situation of COVID, mm-hmm. where things completely
mm-hmm.
has changed.
Mm-hmm.
What's your plan and measures to consolidate, but then again, put yourself in a position that you can bring in other events?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you for that question. It's an interesting one, because I believe everywhere in the world, every convention bureau or every person tourism industry is rethinking how to position yourself or thinking on your strategies. Okay, first of all, for sure, we'll keep our, if I would say, conventional strategy of branding the destination, because the destination has a message of attraction. And in MICE is more of delegates, gathering, conferences. People need to come in your destination. So the first one is still pushing, branding the country, but not only just as a destination with facilities and tourism and all, but also as a hub for innovation. So it's more now the attraction or the end thinking of the delegate you bring in the destination is about what you're going to give them and how is that beneficial. Because now people are going to be thinking twice before they travel on cost, on risk of health and all. So as we position ourselves, we're looking into selling more and more on our strategic sectors and strategic priorities. We see ourselves as a smart destination. Let's say we want to make sure this is a destination where you have the best service. That's where you have high-end infrastructure, best infrastructure, that is also going with technology innovation, as I was saying, teleconferencing and all that. But also, not only that, but also telling the story. If you come, we're talking about gender. Do we learn anything from where you're coming? And do you learn anything to where you're coming to us? What are you going to take? So we're looking into a strategy that drives so much a message, so much in line of strategic priorities of a country. But again, see ourselves as an innovation hub, incubation of MICE. We see that there's now a need to even come up with what we've called homegrown events. We've seen so much impact of domestic tourism and domestic conferences in that small.
Yes, because I was coming to that question because you had mentioned it in one
of your words. Which has now opened our eyes in terms of saying, how can we now sit and reinvent or come up with events that speaks to our context, our reality, not only Rwanda but also Africa. And it's also a strategy we're having now of working together with other convention bureaus and other partners, especially in Africa, to brand the whole continent. And we brand the different products you can get in the continent so that we attract more and more people to come to us, but also going with innovation. So we're going to focus on being competitive, of course, we still, but how do we be competitive but also collaborative with others, because we've seen that is also a strength. Coming back to those homegrown events, I would mention like events like Youth Connect, for example. This is a conference that puts together all young people. It started from here, young people from Rwanda. Now it's across Africa. It's a strong message. Transform Africa is an ICT forum. It goes with the strategic priority of Rwanda of being a technology hub. But I believe it's also a priority across Africa. Yes. That's a homegrown event. Kwitizina, the baby gorilla naming. That goes in environment and tourism, environment protection. So that's an area we believe we're going to focus more and more, working on it as just a destination, but also collaborating with other convention bureaus in the sector to kind of build an Africa interest or Africa connected hub or way of starting doing business and attracting business in the destination. And lastly is also skills development. So we believe now one of the strategic competitive advantage most destinations will have, that one that we want to have, is also about exchange of skills in MICE. How can we build a skilled mass of people in the business events? Because MICE is one of the sectors that is across other sectors of the economy. It has spillovers on all other sectors. It has job creation in transport, in events. If you're taking those ushers, you're creating jobs in so many sectors. It affects also up to agriculture, because the more people coming in your country, these hotels have to buy food, and then it goes all over. So looking at MICE as one of a key economic development sector, which is a vision our government or leadership has, because of even creating Rwanda Convention Bureau was from there, because the country, the leadership was seeing the potential in MICE. So looking at it, it brings also another advantage to grow it in line of affecting all those different sectors. How do we build skills that meet that need of growth in business events? So those are the strategies.
I think it's opened up on a number of initiatives that we are doing and the government is doing to ensure that they are mitigating factors that we can at least survive the business. Mm-hmm. But one area I picked up when you spoke one of the webinars, you had said that we're going to stimulate the mines business with domestic events.
Yes.
Now, the challenge, not peculiar to Rwanda, mm-hmm. but in our destination, is the fact that we've seen the supply chain
yes.
very quote and unquote, insensitive, price insensitive sometimes to domestic market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what role do you play to let them understand that this where we find ourselves, and for people to begin to, I mean, we just posted what we did at ATLF, and I've received a number of comments in my email and say that from other countries saying that we need bold decisions like this. It's possible. You know, we can make it happen. Now back to my question, that if hotels, event centers are not able to understand the needs of domestic event and the prices, how then are you able to champion that cause?
I think the setup of Rwanda is that we have always a way we work together as different sectors or different partners in the sector. For example, I'll give an example. We have a way we sit together with hotels, sit together with PCOs. We have even done that during this period of COVID, and we exchange. We agree, this is what I want to do, how can you facilitate me? Our hotels, our venues are always open to having some discounts or some incentives for PCOs that want to attract different events in the country. But beyond that, there are also government initiatives, so many initiatives that support business, even in MICE industry, in tourism industry in general. And for particularly this period of COVID we're into, Rwanda has established the Economy Recovery Fund, for example, where every business that has been affected by COVID can get access to funds with so much facilitation, with very, very low interest rates, with grace period, and all sorts, which shows the intentional action of the government to facilitate that sector. So that's a really strong message, which goes even to the private sector, and you'll find them sitting around the same table. The existence of Rwanda Convention Bureau has also facilitated that intercross or inter-stakeholders consultations, because we invite all parties, we sit together, do a discussion, agree on how we can take things forward, and look into all the different facilitation that the government has put there, which ones can facilitate them, and we work together. So with even in the strong or challenging situations we were into of COVID, we've seen a glimpse of all of them working together. Even the few events we've had, we've seen all those parties working together, that we believe when conditions will even be better, things will work much better. Yeah.
So in the medium to short term, post-COVID or even during COVID, what legacy events or programs, I shouldn't use legacy events, but which kind of events are you looking to bring back here?
So the priority, as I was saying, is even, first of all, homegrown events. Of course, we need to capitalize on those, because those are initiated here, can be driven. But a second also is associations events, because these rotate, and we always have them, and mostly they're just looking or waiting for economies to open. Thirdly, is also corporate events. Corporate events, because you can connect them with a bit of tourism activities, and because sometimes they don't bring huge numbers, there are not many people, so that they will be constrained. So those are also some we are capitalizing. For example, if, I don't know, I would say MasterCard Foundation wants to have a board meeting, and then we'll attract the board meeting to come and happen in Rwanda and with other stamps. So those are, I would say, in short time. But for us, we're really looking at 2021 as a year that will pick up with business. We already have CHOGAB, which is confirmed in June. That's the Commonwealth Heads of Government Summit. That's a huge meeting. It's already confirmed in June. And we have Intra-Africa Trade Fair. This is a huge trade fair across Africa with 10,000 exhibitors. It's confirmed in September. So we're seeing signs of revival
next year. That's right. My final question is, so if you ask me, why should we choose Rwanda? You say your tagline goes, meet in Rwanda.
Yeah, meet in remarkable Rwanda.
Yes.
Well, so that's the first reason. It's a remarkable country. So for you to know if something is remarkable, you need to go there. You need to yourself go there, and then you will say, actually this is okay. remarkable. But I would say four things. First of all, this country, our leadership, political stability we have in the country, okay. and the whole setup is one advantage. So you'll feel safe to come to Rwanda. Okay. It's one of the country ranked as safest. It's the first in Africa and the fourth in the world. So you'll feel very welcomed in the country. Thirdly, we have high-end infrastructure. If it's about meeting and conferences, I'll name this convention center. We have Intare Arena. We have others. We have now Kigali Arena for entertainment and sport activity. So we have all those high-end infrastructure that you won't miss what you need for you to have a successful conference or meeting. We have hotels, five-star hotels where you get high-end, high-class services, Radisson Blue, Marriott, Serena, to name a few. And then also this fact that Rwanda is accessible. This is one of our uniqueness. From wherever you're coming, all over the world, you get your visa upon arrival. And now even countries from the Commonwealth and the countries from Francophonie and quite a number of other countries are exempted from having from paying a visa when you come to Rwanda. So this is exceptional. It's an accessible country. And with our Rwanda now going into more than 26 destinations across the world, yeah. So it's even
all
the
time. And even last year, they are new relationship with the Qatar.
Exactly.
So then you have to have a more access.
More access.
So, as you wrap up.
Yes.
No, I don't know. Maybe you can
So you're welcome to Rwanda. You have so multiple reasons. And then you will come and meet our thousand hills and thousand opportunities.
And the gorillas, you know,
you
can't forget about it. But as you wrap up, and that's what I take from my guest every time.
Yes.
Can you tell us about yourself? Who is Nelly?
Well,
I like the notes. You know, I mean, this yeah.
So I'm a mother of two.
Oh,
I'm a married woman, a mother of two, and then I am an economist it's qualification if I would say, but I love business. That's why I like business events. I am a young Rwandan who has grown up in a country where youth is given opportunity to be part of building their countries and change the narrative on their countries and then the nations and the continent. So I'm a very proud Rwandan lady who feels that there's something we can give back to our nations, and then that makes me wake up excited every day to serve. And lastly, I love sport. Sport, basketball, but I also do workouts.
So that is actually a good place for
me. Yes.
Okay.
So in a nutshell, that is Nelly.
What do you listen? What kind of music do you listen to?
I would say all type of music.
What's your favorite?
If I want to relax, it's jazz,
okay.
Blues. But if I want some hype, then I will go into hip hop.
Thank you so much for your time. I know you're a very busy person. I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
And we'll wait to see all these conferences coming back, because the industry really needs to pick up.
Yes, please.
And the ATLF held here has sent a signal across the continent and the world that it's possible together. And
absolutely.
The fact that we may not have the numbers, but then again, if Rwanda, and this was a major tourism event in Africa,
yes.
post-COVID, that people
yes.
realize that it's not so... It's possible.
Mm.
It surprised you. And we saw what happened then. At the end of the protocols, you get your result. Once you come in and you do the testing, there's a process with the hotels.
Yes.
That you don't even do at the airport. You come to your hotel,
absolutely.
You do check in and
all
that.
Your safety,
10 hours or something.
And the safety of the people in the country and the safety of people we are welcoming in the country.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.